This bill is actually an attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, targeting LGBTQIA students and stripping away protections that help ensure our schools are safe and welcoming for all.
And now it's up to us to fight on all fronts against these continuing taps on public education and the millions of Texas kids who depend on it.
He has been sent to a very dangerous place where we fear for his safety.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Brian DeShazer. Brazil's top court authorizes a gender-neutral ID for the first time. An anti-DEI bill threatens queer Texas students. And gay U.S. Congressman Garcia confronts Homeland Security's gnome about an abducted gay immigrant. Those stories and more this week, now that you've found This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm Sarah Montague.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 17th, 2025. A non-binary Brazilian can identify as gender neutral on their official government documents thanks to a historic decision by the Superior Court of Justice. The unnamed applicant assigned female at birth had initially requested a male gender marker on their birth certificate after gender-affirming treatment. They later had second thoughts and appealed to the court to change to gender neutral. The ruling of the five-judge panel was unanimous. Judge Nancy Andrighi spoke for them all, using female pronouns for the gender neutral applicant. Andrighi wrote, "This human being must be suffering greatly to undergo surgery, take hormones, become what she thought would be good for her, and then realize it was not the case." Brazil's Supreme Court unanimously removed the requirement that transgender people undergo surgery or hormone therapy before changing their legal gender in 2018. They can simply go to a government registry office without providing supporting medical or legal documents. In this new ruling, the judges of South America's largest country have allowed the designation of gender neutral on a person's government documents for the first time.
Political parties are banned from participating in the UK's largest LGBTQ Pride celebrations this year. The organisers of Pride in London, Birmingham Pride, Brighton Pride, and Manchester Pride cite the lack of sufficient support for transgender people by the ruling Labour Party, the Conservative Party, and the Lib Dems. The Greens are also apparently deemed not to be doing enough in the wake of last month's Supreme Court ruling that excludes transgender women from the legal definition of woman in the Equality Act. A joint statement from the Pride organisers said, "At a time when trans rights in the UK are under growing attack, our resolve has never been stronger. We will not allow progress to be undone. We will not stand by as the dignity, safety, and humanity of our trans siblings are debated, delayed, or denied." Some sources say that political parties will also be excluded by Pride organisers in Belfast and Southampton. Current Labour Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, former Conservative leader Boris Johnson, Lib Dem leader Sir Ed Davey, and Green Party co-leader Carla Denner have all marched in Pride parades. Queer party activists lament the ban and call for further dialogue. The Pride groups are calling for timely and dignified access to National Health Service gender-affirming care and a reformed accessible gender recognition certificate process to allow legal gender changes. They also demand sustainable funding for trans-led services and support organizations across the country. As they said in their joint statement, "This is the minimum. Anything less is not allyship, it's abandonment. To those in power, when you demonstrate true solidarity and tangible commitment to trans rights, we will stand with you. Until then, we will continue to speak truth to power and fight for a future where every trans person can live safely, freely, and proudly."
Mass discharges of transgender service members from the U.S. Armed Forces are underway. The Pentagon's May 14th order comes after the Supreme Court lifted the temporary injunctions that were blocking the process on May 6. No transgender person will be allowed to enlist while the constitutionality of the ban continues to be litigated in lower courts. Troops with diagnosis, history, or symptoms consistent with gender dysphoria who refuse to self-identify and do not voluntarily resign will be weeded out by screening medical records, according to an unnamed senior Defense Department official speaking to Stars and Stripes. Active duty service members have until June 6 to quit. Military departments must submit compliance reports by June 15th. The Pentagon's memo also confirms that the Defense Department has reinstated its ban on gender-affirming health care for active duty trans troops. Trans troops who self-identify by the applicable deadline will get honorable discharges and begin the separation process within 30 days, as Stars and Stripes reports. They'll also get financial benefits based on rank, time in service, and whether they left service voluntarily or involuntarily. The anonymous Pentagon official explained to the military publication that an enlisted member at the fifth pay grade with 10 years of service would receive approximately $101,000 if they voluntarily separate. They'd get less than $51,000 if they are forced out. An officer at the third pay grade with 7 years of service would receive about $125,000 if they voluntarily separate. They'd only get about $62,000 for an involuntary separation. Those voluntarily separating can also access some regular pre-separation services, including employment assistance, financial counseling, and community reintegration services. They would also be eligible for temporary health care coverage. Trans people in the reserves have until July 7th to voluntarily resign or face forced expulsion and the loss of separation benefits. Stars and Stripes says that there are about 4,200 service members who have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, although the precise number of transgender service members is not really known.
Tennessee's transgender teachers and students can now be deadnamed and have their preferred pronouns ignored by school officials with no recourse. The new law specifically prohibits public schools and school districts from creating policies that penalize those who decline to use pronouns that are inconsistent with a person's biological sex or to use a person's preferred name without a legal name change. It also allows lawsuits to be filed against school officials who disregard the new legislation. Violators will be open to civil liability that could lead to injunctions and monetary compensation. The schools would also pay attorneys' fees. Republican Governor Bill Lee signed the law that sailed through both houses of the Republican-controlled state legislature. Democratic State Representative Justin Pearson was among several in his party to condemn the legislation, calling it the Bullying LGBTQ Students Act. Pearson is no stranger to strident arguments after his famed temporary removal from the legislature for opposing gun violence. He told NBC TV affiliate WBIR, "With all of the problems that we have as a state, whether that be dealing with poverty, the lack of health care access, the rights of women to choose what they do with their bodies, we're getting legislation after legislation that furthers discrimination, othering, and separation. It's despicable and ridiculous that this is how we are using our time and energy, and it isn't helping anybody."
Finally, Florida's ban on drag shows was struck down by the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on May 13th. The 2-1 majority found that the law's vague language, allegedly meant to protect children from salacious entertainment, violates free speech guarantees of the U.S. Constitution. Governor Ron DeSantis signed the law when he was running for president in 2023. It threatened fines, loss of operating licenses, and criminal penalties against a venue or performer for exposing a child to lewd performances, even with parental consent. Drag shows were not specifically mentioned. Instead, it prohibited minors from attending an adult live performance that depicts or simulates nudity, sexual conduct, sexual excitement, or specific sexual activities, including the lewd exposure of prosthetic or imitation genitals or breasts. There's nothing like that in the kind of family-friendly drag brunches that are wildly popular at the queer-friendly restaurant chain Hamburger Mary's. The Orlando location filed suit against the ban. The state appealed to the 11th Circuit after a lower court issued a preliminary injunction blocking its enforcement. Writing for the majority, Judge Robin S. Rosenbaum said, "By providing only vague guidance as to which performances it prohibits, the law wields a shotgun when the First Amendment allows a scalpel at most." The case now returns to the District Federal Court, where a bench trial can be scheduled. Hamburger Mary's has since closed its Orlando location, while the owners have continued to sponsor drag event community fundraisers. They plan to open a new restaurant in Kissimmee. Their victory statement said, in part, "This bill has nothing to do with children and everything to do with the continued oppression of the LGBTQ+ community. Anytime our legislators want to demonize a group, they say they are coming for your children. In this case, creating a false narrative that drag queens are grooming and recruiting your children with no factual basis or history to back up these accusations at all."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending May 17th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in your ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. But This Way Out, I'm Sarah Montague. Stay healthy.
And I'm Joe Bainline. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Would you commit at least into looking and asking El Salvador if he is alive?
This is a question that's best asked to the president and the government of El Salvador.
Absolutely. And I think you know very well that you could ask that question.
The U.S. government refuses to give answers about a gay Venezuelan's whereabouts later in the program.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prairie sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas.
The war against diversity, equity, and inclusion in education is sweeping the United States, and Texas is the scene of one of the most recent battles. This Way Out's Lucia Chappell reports.
Officially, the Texas Legislature Bill SB 12 is called Relating to Parental Rights in Public Education to Certain School Requirements and Prohibitions Regarding Instruction and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Duties and to Student Clubs at Public Schools. Put another way, it would require parents to opt their children into rather than out of sex education. It would remove DEI considerations from hiring curriculum and staff training, and it would ban queer student groups. It's a follow-up to SB 17, which dismantled DEI in state colleges and universities in 2023. SB 12 passed the state Senate in March and is beginning its journey through the House. There, the measure came before the Committee on Public Education this week, and LGBTQ activists held a press conference to express their concerns. Representative Ron Reynolds is a Democrat from Missouri City who chairs the Legislative Black Caucus. He's one of the people leading the opposition to SB 12.
Today I stand before you not just as an elected official, but as a parent of two children that are actually in public schools. Our concern is for the quality of our public schools, for our children's safety and well-being. It has never been greater. We've seen attack after attack after attack on our public schools. We've seen attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we saw this starting last session with Senate Bill 17, where we ended diversity, equity, and inclusion in colleges and universities. And now it's extended further to K-12. And it's a further attack on not just Black and Brown, but LGBTQ is anti-Muslim, is anti-immigrant. It passed this bill when undermined educators by giving parents complete control over their students' education and strip students of their personal autonomy and privacy, force school staff to out their students to their parents.
Equality Texas Communication Director Jonathan Gooch stressed the impact of DEI-related services on the lives of queer students.
SB 12 seeks to demolish DEI programs, restrict access to mental health services for young people, and to eliminate all conversation and education about LGBTQ issues. Just some people, it might seem strange that we're concerned about parents monitoring which mental health services their young people, their students have access to. With LGBTQ students, it's not that simple. Young people who fear that their parents might not affirm them need access to mental health resources. That's a huge burden to carry. And professional counselors can help young people navigate that tension between wanting to respect their parents and wanting to remain a part of the religious tradition while also being true to what they know in their gut.
Mandy Garcia of the Texas branch of the American Federation of Teachers has been working to defeat similar legislation on the higher education front.
A higher ed bill that we've been working against, SB 37, is similar to SB 12, but that it is also a sweeping attempt to censor curriculum, censor our educators, and strip our students of access to quality education. These attacks are highly organized, but we're here to show lawmakers that so are we. Bills like SB 12 and SB 37 are both sweeping reforms of our education system, both K-12 and higher ed. In SB 37, there are false notions and claims that faculty senates are creeping their power over administration. In SB 12, they are granting parents this undue authority to report teachers, to report educators, to report school districts. And what we're seeing is that there are so many parallels in the language and this violent language that we're seeing in SB 12 and SB 37. I mean, there's a very clear, unified attack against education on all fronts. And when we strip our educators of their autonomy, we disempower our students and their access to quality education.
Garcia's point was perfectly illustrated by a student who testified at the House committee hearing.
I know firsthand that diversity, equity, inclusion are not buzzwords or false realities. These are lenses in which many of us see ourselves in schools and curriculums, and there are things like that need to be done in Texas public schools because they give us the confidence to exist as individuals in our own self. SB 12 prohibited or would prohibit schools from acknowledging the racial, cultural, and gender diversity that defines Texas. It would ban schools that taboos, simple days as discussing real systemic issues, or even the three teachers that are reflective of the communities that they serve. This bill sends a clear message to students like me. Our stories, our histories, our identities are not worth honoring in Texas public schools.
Our students deserve better.
Representative Reynolds.
Senate Bill 12 is just another Republican MAGA toolbox to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion practices in our schools. And so our message is a call to action for all people of good conscience to say enough is enough. Let's stop with the hyper-partisan politics. Let's stop playing political football with our precious students.
Reynolds has a realistic strategy for fighting SB 12 as it moves through the House calendars process that determines how a bill is handled. And he believes in taking action both inside and outside the legislature.
And so we hope that it will die in committees, assuming that it passes committee. Like, I'm going to be real and transparent that I believe it likely will. Our next step is to find ways that we can keep it from getting on the floor, soften it through amendment. And so our goal is not to give up. And that's why we're here today, is to call to action. We want the public to call the members of the Public Education Committee to tell them to vote no. We want people, if it soon passes the Public Education Committee, to call the Calendars Committee and tell them not to allow this bill out of calendars. So there are different hurdles. We're not giving up. And that's why we have this press conference today, to say why we stand solidly against this bill. And the question should be for the bill authors and the supporters of it. Are you against diversity? Are you against equity? Or are you against inclusion? We need to ask that question. We shouldn't have to defend why this bill is bad. They should defend why is this even an issue.
And as my faith teaches me to love all.
And that doesn't mean some. And we're not going back. So we're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to speak truth to power. And we're going to continue to do everything we can to kill Senate Bill 12.
The House Public Education Committee heard witness testimony for about an hour on May 13th, and SB 12 was left pending. For This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
Hi, my name is Billy Bean, and I was a Major League Baseball player from 1986 to 1995. I started with the Detroit Tigers. I played for the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. I am gay, and you're listening to a show that hits it out of the park every week. This Way Out Radio Magazine.
Home is where the heart is. No matter how the heart lives. That's where you've got to make yourself at home.
A gay Congress member from California is demanding answers about a disappeared gay Venezuelan asylum seeker, and he's not intimidated by the Director of Homeland Security. This Way Out's Lucia Chappell has news from the U.S. Capitol.
His mother just wants to know if he is alive.
Among the 200 or so Venezuelan men who have been illegally sent from the U.S. to the notorious Cicot prison in El Salvador is Andre Hernandez Romero. Andre is a gay makeup artist, not a gang member or a national security threat. Shortly after his disappearance, his story was told to Democracy Now! By Margaret Cargioli, directing attorney for policy and advocacy at Immigrant Defenders Law Center.
Our client is an asylum seeker who entered the United States via the U.S. southern border through the CBP One app over a year ago. He was detained in Southern California, was waiting for his right to have, you know, a judge hear his case as to asylum. He was flagged because he has tattoos. He's in the arts field. Solely because he has tattoos, the only evidence that the government at that point had submitted were pictures of what they attribute Tren de Agua, Aragua gang members to have, just one page of a few tattoos. And solely because of that, having no criminal record, he has been sent to a very dangerous place where we fear for his safety. And it's extremely concerning that the United States government is not sharing any information. We did not know his whereabouts from Friday until Monday when he had an immigration court hearing. At that hearing, it was the first time that the United States government actually confirmed that he was sent to El Salvador.
That was nearly 2 months ago, and still Andrea has not been heard from. In April, an unofficial delegation of Congress members went to El Salvador to try to contact the detainees. It was unofficial because their request was denied by the Republican-controlled House. Representative Robert Garcia was one of that group. He got another opportunity to demand answers about Andre when Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem appeared before the House Homeland Security Committee. With a portrait of Andre in front of a backdrop of green hills and purple flowers at his side, Garcia grilled Noem about the missing immigrant.
Now, Madam Secretary, you've heard this case today, but I have to speak about it one more time. I think it's really important. This is Andre Romero. He had an appointment to come to this country to claim asylum. We gave him that appointment. The United States government gave him his asylum appointment. He comes for his appointment. He passes a credible fear interview. He's a gentle person, as described by his family. He's openly gay. He was leaving his country for persecution of being gay. He did everything right, claimed asylum, that was legal. And then we sent him to a dangerous prison at the border with no due process. There are claims about his tattoos. He has his parents' names on his tattoos and two crowns that relate to a festival back in his hometown. We are paying to lock this young gentleman up forever. What I would ask is the ambassador in El Salvador, we have asked for proof of life of Andrew. He has had no access to lawyers or family since he has been taken over a month now. No one knows if he's even alive. His mother just wants to know if he is alive. So my ask to you, Madam Secretary, is the same that I asked the ambassador. Can we do a proof of life check on Andrew just to see if he is alive?
Congressman, we are utilizing the tools that Congress has given us to apply due process to individuals. We are doing that for every person, and we are making sure that we're following what you have given us as far as guidance and how things should be implemented.
Would you commit to just letting his mother know, as a mother to mother, if Andrew is alive? He was given an asylum appointment by the United States government. We gave him an appointment. We said, Andrew, come to the border at this time to claim asylum. He was taken to a foreign prison in El Salvador. His mother just wants to know if he is alive. Can we check and do a wellness check on him?
Our asylum applications are different than the granting of asylum. And I don't know the specifics of this individual case. This individual is in El Salvador, and the appeal would be best made to the president and to the government of El Salvador on this.
This is not
under my jurisdiction.
Madam Secretary, you have said that CECOT in El Salvador is one of the tools in the toolbox that you have. You have said that and have been quoted as saying that. You and the president have the ability to check if Andrew is alive and if not being harmed. Would you commit at least into looking and asking El Salvador if he is alive?
This is a question that's best asked to the president and the government of El Salvador. Absolutely.
And I think you know very well that you could ask that question. What you are choosing to do, Madam Secretary, is disregard this young man's life, this young man's family, who was given an appointment by the United States. I think it is shameful that you won't even request to see if this young man is alive. His family has no idea, has no access to lawyers. I would hope that we would have the humanity to just check if this young man is okay. With that, I yield back. It's shameful.
That was Representative Robert Garcia questioning Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem during a House Homeland Security Committee hearing. Reporting for This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappelle.
Thanks for finding This Way Out. Brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Joe Badeline and Sarah Montague and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our correspondent was Lucia Chappelle. Electric Light Orchestra performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Dyer V of Winston, Oregon, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media. Email us at info@thiswayout.org or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon, associate producer Lucia Chappelle, and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And on 2NCR South Lismore, New South Wales, WUML, Lowell, Massachusetts, KFGM, Missoula, Montana, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.